Hashana Tova Tikite Bu, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my beautiful and lovely wife and soulmate, Reverend Sheeta Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and Shalom Aleichem. We are continuing our study of Hebraic Roots 101, Rosh Hashanah's Feast of Trumpets.
And that begins this year around 9/11.
Just as we mentioned last week, it's the same date to remember those awful attacks at the Twin Towers 25 years ago.
And that was a wake-up call.
Oh. And when the rapture happens on some Rosh Hashanah, that will also be a wake-up call in more ways than one, especially to those left behind. And that event will open the eyes of the many, and there will be many, possibly millions, of tribulation saints.
So, a huge awakening.
Yes, in fact, so many, even John couldn't count them. He just said a great multitude in Revelation 7. Let us now give thanks to the Lord, for he is very prophetic with his appointments, and it's absolutely increased our knowledge, because it's all about him.
Abba, Father, our El Shaddai, we are captured by your grace and mercy that we don't deserve, and yet your blessings are enormous. So much, we often don't recognize or praise you for it. We aim to do better, for when the book of remembrance is open, may our rewards be found worthy of your love. Thank you for your timely appointments, soon to be all fulfilled, as we lift up to you our lost loved ones for salvation while there is yet time. We also pray healings on our recent prayer requests, and may their faith sustain them, knowing victory lies ahead, one way or another. Until that day, may we be a blessing to you as we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Well, we've been having some renewed action in the Middle East.
Oh, boy, yes. On Sunday, the United States bombed Larak Island off the Strait of Hormuz because they had good intelligence that the IRGC was about to launch rockets to lay more sea mines in the strait, since their previous mines have been eliminated.
And we're successful.
Yes, and thankfully the Islamic regime were not successful when they responded with their 8 ballistic missiles fired at our base in Jordan, which were intercepted, praise the Lord.
Yesterday, Trump said, we will respond, but so far, no go.
But we'll soon, especially since 2 ships carrying Saudi Arabian oil were hit with projectiles late last night. And even though the people of Iran, they're really hurting, but they still fear that Trump will give in and sign an agreement with the current regime.
Especially if China refuses to honor the sanctions.
Right. Who are also still getting oil through the Caspian Sea, which is north of Iran. As well, Reuters reported that China has held direct talks with the Houthis to enable its tankers to sail through the southern Red Sea, which they, of course, then are also doing. So should Trump sign a deal with Iran to keep the current Islamic regime? Well, most of us will not be surprised, because we have Ezekiel 38 as our backdrop. But again, that all depends on God's timeline.
So, we all practice our patience.
We certainly do, especially when it comes to our departure. But as we've been saying, the IRGC is just holding out till Trump leaves office. Meanwhile, prodding him to use as much of our munitions in helping our allies to reduce our own readiness in any other scenario.
And, you know, Taiwan comes first to my mind.
Well, we know for sure, again, because of Scripture, we will not be ready to help Israel, if America as we know it today is even around by then. And also remember, the war of Ezekiel 38 doesn't happen until around the middle of the tribulation, when the unrighteous will be in charge, as we've explained many times.
And we will again, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And then there is right now our military fatigue, which plays a major role, because even if we're not fighting every day, our Navy still has to be out there on a ship for months. Suicides happen too often, even among the Marines, but they have decreased since Trump has been president.
And Pete Hegseth is a righteous leader.
He is. It's no more woke or sodomite infiltrated. But regardless, how Trump, he says that he's friends with China, Russia, and North Korea, etc. They all want to destroy America. And at the proper time, they will all join together and implement their plan to destroy us.
For again, as we have scripture as our backdrop.
That's right, Jeremiah 30:11 and also Jeremiah 46:28. By the way, the president of Iran is meeting with Russia's Putin today. And Putin met with China yesterday. And we are all waiting to see how China's meeting with Trump at the White House later this month turns out.
And then there's Iran's proxies.
Yes, the IDF is hitting Hezbollah on an as-needed basis. They must have a solid excuse to do so, as Israel is still on a leash somewhat, and actually the same in Gaza. Trump needs to release those chains that bind them. And clashes continue in Judea and Samaria due to Israeli right-wing extremists that keep attacking the Palestinians.
Which gives all the Jews a bad name.
Yes, and Bibi has begged them to stop, as he wants to enlarge Israeli presence in those areas too. But they make it difficult for him to do so legally.
Yeah, the extremists are tired of waiting.
I know. You almost can't blame him, especially since Trump put his kibosh on any Israeli enlargement in Judea and Samaria, which is their rightful homeland, and one day they'll have it all back.
That's very true. Okay, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are really needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you to our mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
All right, well, we have covered quite a bit over the last 2 weeks, leaving off with the groom's two best friends, and you might call them the two witnesses. Also showing up at Yeshua's transfiguration in Matthew 17. And they are also our two best spiritual friends because Moses wrote the Torah and Elijah is the prophet over all the prophets in Scripture. And since Yeshua was raised Jewish, let's compare a first century Jewish wedding with how it will be with us, his bride.
There are four betrothment possibilities.
Right. Number one, betrothment can be arranged by the father. Or number two, sometimes even arranged from birth. Or number three, the young man himself can ask the maiden. Or number four, there could even be a matchmaker, as in the case of Isaac in Genesis 24.
And we, as his bride, can claim all of them.
Yes. He knows us from birth, but still the Father allows us to choose. The Son paid our debt, and the Holy Spirit is our matchmaker who actually does court us to the right situation, especially when enhanced by others' prayers.
So, never stop praying for your loved one.
Amen. We become betrothed when we accepted Yeshua's spiritual Passover by applying the blood and inviting him into our hearts, promising to love no other God. So, in the first century, if the prospective bride accepted the man's proposal, again, still always her choice, she must drink from the offered cup of wine.
He would then pay the bride price.
And if the father accepts the price, he would pull out a white linen cloth and give it to the groom for use on his honeymoon.
Now, that, you know, there's a lot of typology there.
Yes. The picture here, of course, is that Jesus paid the bride price with his blood on the cross and was wrapped in a white linen cloth, which was also stained with his blood. When a Jewish marriage is consummated, the groom gives her that white linen cloth for her blood and is then waved outside the window to prove her virginity and also that the covenant was completed. Most covenants needed blood, usually from an animal sacrifice, to affirm. Except, of course, when God alone made a promise regardless of the other's reciprocation, as with Noah, David, and Moses on Mount Sinai.
So, back to the young man, who after he paid her price, would then give her gifts.
Yes, and we too have received gifts. Then, while waiting for the groom to return, the young virgin would learn more about him by speaking with his closer friends. So, how do we learn more about Jesus?
Through his friends who wrote the scripture.
That's right. While the groom was preparing a place for her at his father's house. And in John 14:2, Jesus also used, on purpose, that wedding terminology by saying he would go and prepare a place for us.
And he also said, I will come again and receive you to myself.
So the young virgin prepares herself and also partakes in a ceremonial cleansing called a mikvah.
Yeah, that's kind of like our water baptism.
Yes, which is why we do a total immersion, just like they did.
And how John the Baptist did.
Yes. She would also study her contract.
Called a ketubah.
Which outlines his promises as well as her responsibilities.
You know, for us, that's kind of like our Bible.
Mm-hmm. Again, as we just said, the maiden would communicate with the groom's friends to learn even more about him, which speaks to all of us who must also learn more about him through his autobiography penned by Yeshua's friends and guided by the Holy Spirit.
Then the maiden waits for the shout of the trumpet.
Yep. To meet her groom who will escort her in a chariot to his father's house for that big wedding under the huppah.
And now we anxiously await.
For sure. We all long to hear that loud teruah trumpet shout to meet Yeshua for our big wedding right after we attend his coronation as king when he takes the scroll in Revelation 5. Then, after our wedding under heaven's huppah, God will give us our rewards.
And a queen's crown.
Yeah. You know, it really is hard to even imagine the scope of it all. You know, like it says in 1 Corinthians 2.
Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
Yes, it really is unimaginable. Okay, so then there's the honeymoon, or the Shavuah, which in Hebrew just means seven. And saints, this is very important to understand. It's one of those connect-the-dots moments.
At all first-century Jewish honeymoons had to last for a period of seven.
Exactly, because that's a complete number. In those days, honeymoons lasted for 7 days, as in a week.
Anything less would annul the marriage.
It would. And God did that for a reason. So to learn from that. And, of course, we'll expound on that in just a minute. But first, let's read that scripture in Genesis 29, where Jacob just realized, for it was dark, that after working for 7 years, that he hadn't married Rachel, but her older sister Leah instead, who tricked him. And he was outraged. Jacob quickly exited the Hadar, the wedding chamber, to speak with her father Laban, who told him in verse 26,
I cannot give you the younger one before the firstborn.
So the next verse confirms the importance of the week-long honeymoon. Please read what else Laban told Jacob.
Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also.
So Jesus will do the same thing. Our honeymoon must be for a period of 7. And in our case, it's 7 years, but not 3.5 like the mid-tribbers claim.
And the post-tribbers don't recognize a honeymoon in heaven at all.
Right. Bottom line, saints of God, knowing our roots from the first century and before gives us the knowledge of how it will be with us. That is why he set up all the customs and idioms so we would understand and gain necessary knowledge of how it will be with us. Mid and post-tribbers ignore many of the Jewish customs, which also means there is no long gap of time from the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation. It's only about 9 or 10 days till the day of Yom Kippur. And we know it has to begin on a Yom Kippur, another day of judgment, because the tribulation ends on a Yom Kippur, because the great trump is blown. In Matthew 24 we see, which is also their day of atonement, and the next of Christ's fulfillment of his appointments.
Even many Messianic Jews don't understand their real roots from the first century.
Right, true. They only know what their father and grandfathers taught them that had changed over time before they were ever born.
Yeah, especially through the Dark Ages.
Yeah, so they too need to study first century Judaism. A good resource is George Footmore's 4-volume teaching on Judaism in the first century. Okay, so this bears repeating. To prove the bride was a virgin, and because covenants were blood covenants, the marriage consummation must be proven by the blood-stained white linen cloth that had been given to the young man at his betrothment from the father. They remain in the Hadar for 7 days when the guests are able to witness the unveiling of the bride as they exit the chamber on day 7 for all to see. They then return back to the young wife's previous home to announce it is official and welcomed by a grand reception with a marriage supper.
Now, you know, that's a lot of typology right there.
Yes, it is. Again, purposely all done for us to learn from.
Amen.
Because we too, at the end of our 7-year honeymoon in heaven, will return to earth, our previous home, Revelation 19. And as already noted from our studies, we conclude it will be on a Yom Kippur, along with our husband Yeshua, this time at the sound of the great trump.
Matthew 24:31.
And after he rids the earth of its evil in 5 days, we will partake in a gala event ushered in with the Feast of Tabernacles on Tishri 15 and enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb right here as the Messianic Kingdom on Earth begins.
Which also just happens to be on Jesus's or Yeshua's earthly birthday.
And the appointment he needed to keep with his bride, now his wife, Revelation 19:7. Everything so very detailed with all the times already being set. Prophecy will be fulfilled in the fullness of his time.
Lastly, what about divorce?
Well, that was only for adultery and likely stoned to death.
For that's a typology too.
With Jesus, the only annulment after betrothment is through spiritual adultery, which is blaspheming the Holy Spirit by denying Christ as your only Savior, which means spiritual death. Hebrews 6 also addresses that. But really, what true believer could do that? You might backslide from fellowship, but that's not denying him. Other than total denial, we believe in once saved, always saved, because Jesus died for all our sins, past, present, and future. But again, who would let that sacrifice be a license to deny him? If so, then the question is, were they ever really saved? Only God knows that. But Matthew 7 does suggest some might not. Anyhow, we'll be airing all the rapture scriptures next week because who knows, they might apply to this year between September 11th through the 16th, which includes the Essene calendar. And if we're still here, we'll then study the Feast of Yom Kippur. Meanwhile, if you don't know him yet in a personal way, you might only have a few days to make that commitment. Don't be a fool. Instead, invite him into your heart so you too can sing along with us to Come Jesus Come by Stephen McWhirter. So stop what you're doing, wherever you are, get on your knees and sing along with us.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray, Come Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm done to pray, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade.
for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.